The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate The Last Jedi 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from alexrobinson.fun.
I'm Pete the Retailer from petetheretailer.com.
I'm Dan McCoy of the Flophouse Podcast.
Oh, look at that.
And I'm Stuart Wellington of the Flophouse Podcast.
And I'm Elliot Kalin of iPodius, the only podcast that takes you through all the episodes of the original TV miniseries I, Claudius, co-hosted by me and John Hodgman, and also the Flophouse Podcast.
You know, Elliot, my initial reaction to your hat was to be to laugh at how awkwardly it was perched. And then after I saw that it was on top of your headphones, I was impressed that you were able to put a stovepipe hat on your head.
It will fall off at some point and knock over my microphone, so just be ready for that.
You should just attach it to the headphones, like glue it on, so that every time you're wearing the headphones, you wear the hat.
That's a very good idea, especially
so when you're like riding public transportation wearing those headphones, you'll have a cool hat to go with it.
Finally.
You'll be the most eccentric person in Los Angeles.
Just taking public transportation would make me that. Whoa! Not true. A lot of people take public transit in L.A.
And it's getting better.
It's a very privileged stereotype for me to say that people don't use it, because a lot of people use it, and I actually had great experiences using it. So, and it fell off.
Well, let's talk about minute 135 of The Last Jedi. What do you guys say, huh?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Why not?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Minute 135 starts off with General Leia asking everyone why they are all looking at her. And it ends a minute later with Poe exploding with rage that the Vulptrix managed to squeeze out of the tunnel.
He
was hoping to eat that thing.
I think Poe Dameron realizes once again he is not the center of the universe, and maybe this animal was not trying to show him a message or teach him something.
He's just like I don't want to hang out with these smelly humans anymore.
There's explosions and things going on. Why wouldn't he leave? But he goes through this little hole, and he's like, no, no, no. It's like, well, maybe you were never meant to go through that hole. Why are you following him?
A friend of mine went on his honeymoon to a Mexican resort in Mexico, and they're staying there, and they were like, oh, let's go down to the beach, and they're walking on the paths and stuff, and they can't figure out which way it is to the beach, and they see a guy there with a dog, and they ask the guy, hey, how we can get to the beach from here? And the guy says, sure, the dog will take you. And so he sends the dog off, and they're following the dog, and then the dog's clearly at one point just kind of like wandering around, and they're like, why did we think this dog was going to take us to the beach? So that's clearly great. What's going on here with the Vulp Texas.
Meanwhile, that guy lucked into some free dog sitters. He's like, great, now I can do these errands.
Yeah, what was
take a dog with me?
The guy, I'm more interested in what's that guy's story?
I think the guy was just like these stupid gringos. I'm going to have him send him into the woods.
Yeah, he found a lost dog and he was like, oh, this will work out great. Like,
Agent of chaos.
This dog will take you.
So the Falcon returns in this minute. The Millennium Falcon.
Love it. Getting a little bit of Falcon. Lovey.
You guys must have fond memories of seeing the Falcon again after all these years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
I was that moment in The Force Awakens when she says, "No, that's a piece of junk," and then they run to it and it's the Millennium Falcon. I was like, "Ah, that ship is back! I love it."
Yeah.
So yeah.
The music swell. I get choked up. I couldn't help it.
Yeah. And that's one of the moments in that movie where like nostalgia really works in your favor, partly because like you're excited, but the characters are not making a big deal out of it, and it's not necessary for you to know that that's the Millennium Falcon to like get the plot. But when I saw it here, it just reminded me of how often people have to get picked up off a planet at the end of Star Wars movies, and it's like, I don't need to see this. Just pick them up. Like, I don't.
So you think it should just cut from here to them all on the Falcon and being like, boy, that sure was a close escape.
Yeah, you don't think they should
more exciting than them having to squeeze through a foxhole, you know?
You don't think the audience is like, I wonder if the Millennium Falcon will show up, or if maybe it'll show up too late and they'll all just be dead, and they're like,
maybe Ray just decided to go
shouldn't
out
have listened
sell
to that porg instead of Waze.
This porg will show you how to get to the planet. Just follow that.
You trickster. Pilot.
So Rey does the same thing, she makes the same mistake that Poe makes, where she sees the foxes running and she's like, that must be where the rebels are. Why would it, like, there's some animals running around, that must be where the rebels are. Anyway.
It's movie logic. It's the
Force.
In Rey's case, it is. She does have the Force, so she can potentially see things before they happen. So maybe she was like, "Oh yeah, I had a vision of reuniting with them, and there were crystal foxes."
That's a great thing to have if you're like, you can't find your keys, and you're like, "Let me just look into the future and see where I found my keys."
You wouldn't look into the past to see where you put them down. You'd be actually looking into the future when you found them, which you would only know from having looked into the future when you found it.
But then you go and find them, so it works. Then
you look into the future to when you check the app that tells you where your lost keys are.
Right.
You lost your phone is the problem.
So they have apps now in the Star Wars universe?
Mm-hmm. And you see that it's 3 days from now, so you're like, oh, great, I got 3 days. So I'm gonna just
hang out, yeah.
I have to say, as like...
Cancel my appointments. I'm not finding these keys for days.
As a dumb normie without the Force, if I were in that situation, I probably would just be like, I don't know, man, whatever. Like, that seems out of the ordinary. I'll check that out. Like, whatever happens. If I arrive and there's a stampede, I'm like, oh, sure, why not? Let's check out what that is.
There was 20 minutes of deleted scenes of her following mistaken leads. And be like, that must be where they are. And they're like, oh, no, this isn't it. Like, that's
she
it.
Shows up.
There's smoke over there. Oh, no, it's a campfire.
There's like the Millennium Falcon is just full of all different wildlife because they kept going like, oh, look over there, there's a bunch of birds. And they go and they get another bird on board. And then it's like, oh, wait, look over there, there's some disinterested bears. Maybe they know where everybody
is.
She's
like, I guess I'm just an exotic animal smuggler now. I'm not even part of the rebellion anymore.
I
got to say, you know, people.
Do you got to say?
I do got to say. I got
like you're going to die if you don't say it?
I choose to say that I like the porgs. I'm annoyed at the people. Yeah. Who don't like the porgs, because it seems like the only reason they don't like the porgs is that they're cute. But they're not like, they don't take over the movie. They're just a cute thing on the side of the movie. And I was annoyed. I was not annoyed, but I was like a little disappointed that in Rise of Skywalker, they appear to have cleaned the ship of porgs. The porg infestation is gone and no one's hanging out with porgs anymore.
I mean, to be honest, it would be the first thing I would do as the owner of the Millennium Falcon is to get all the wildlife out.
Are you crazy?
Chewie seems to be friends with those porgs now, though.
They're
awesome.
And they eat one of them, right?
He eats one of them.
Well, he feels bad. He feels bad.
He cooks it. We don't know if he actually eats it.
That's true. What a waste. That would really be disrespecting that porg if he killed it and cooked it and then felt too bad and just threw it away and didn't eat it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd much rather have watched a movie where we get to see Rose Tico and her adventures with the porgs, but I guess they didn't want to give it to us.
Mm-hmm. No, until the porgs TV show. I like the porgs too, and I have to admit, though, the only thing that annoyed me about the porgs was before the movie came out, the groundswell of excitement for Porgs and Porg merchandise. And I was like, can we wait till we see the movie, please? Because it reminded me a little bit, and it worked out fine, reminded me of the all those people who were like, I love Game of Thrones. I'm going to name my daughter Daenerys. She's going to be the hero. And then she turns into a villain at the end, and they're like, I was betrayed by this show. And it's like, well, no one told you to name your child after them before the story was over. Sorry, Stu. I know you haven't finished it yet.
I don't watch the show, dude. What are you doing?
Sorry.
Here's something we forgot about, at least I forgot about, having taken several weeks to progress through the last several minutes of the movie, is the binary beacon, the cloaked binary beacon, which is a convenient way for everybody to find everybody else. A little thing that when we also get R2 gets something to do. I was like, wait, what happened to R2-D2? Where is he? Turns out he's on the Falcon the whole time, and he's using the binary beacon to find, Leia, ostensibly.
That sounds like an easy reader kid's book. R2 gets something to do. This was an exciting day. R2 would have a special job.
And I like that they keep giving him things to do that aren't quite what he's supposed to be doing. And he's not that he screws them up, but he doesn't. Eventually, he gets the right thing for him to do.
Exactly.
He finds his purpose, his glorious purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that they keep Rey on the ship with Chewie and R2, so nobody speaks. It would just be her talking to one animal that grunts and a robot that just beeps. So it's just like, well, you're right, R2. She has a lot of that kind of.
I'd like to see that show too.
Yeah, totally.
You could pull that off as a puppet show, right? So you got one person in the middle, and then you got an R2 puppet and a Chewbacca puppet, and it's almost like, you know, she could be like, oh yeah, I know, you're right. So it's like a double ventriloquist act.
I mean, it's good practice for her YouTube show or YouTube channel or Instagram lives or one woman show. Like, she gets a lot of practice just filling space.
Sure. Right. Yeah. They talk, obviously, but it's not, it's in some ways that's kind of like what it's like to be a Mystery Science Theater host, which Jonah would talk to me about how it's really tough because you are the only human being on stage and you have two puppets next to you and like, they're talking, but you have to give so much energy to imbue the puppets with even more kind of like, interaction, you know, although our puppeteers are amazing on that show. But like, that she took it even a step further. Nobody talks except her, and she's got to interpret for the audience. It's hard to be Rey, you know, from her youth as a scavenger to her adulthood as someone who has to interpret a droid and a Chewbacca bear dog and some kind of a bird seal. It's a hard knock life being Rey, and it only gets harder.
Now, so Rey can understand both of them because she's special. R2, I'm assuming, can understand Chewbacca
and Rey.
Yep.
And Rey. But Chewie can't understand R2. He can only understand Rey.
Do we know that?
Is that for sure? I mean, he's spent a lot of time together.
So I think what you have to do is you take the fox across first and you leave that at the far bank.
Right. That's a good point.
Then you go back for the chicken. You take the chicken across, but you take the fox across with you.
Right.
Then you pick up the
Despite
seed.
Despite his objections.
Yes. You take the seed and the fox across. You take the chicken back with you. I don't know why you're going back. You've got them all at the same place at that point. I messed it up. But I think R2-D2 and Chewbacca don't understand each other, and they're both pretending they understand the other. So they have long conversations where neither one has any idea what the other one is saying. And they're just, they each come away with it having completely different ideas of what they were talking about and of the personalities of the other two. And I think there's something sweet about that, that they're still friends, even though they don't know what they're talking about.
They speak the common language of chess.
Crazy world.
Chess and love. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, a Sasquatch and a trash can can be friends.
That's the magic of Star Wars. Yeah. That's that song in Oklahoma. The Sasquatch and the trash can be friends.
Yep. Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Speaking of Daisy Ridley, I know, I think you mentioned it in the green room, Elliot, but has anyone seen Chaos Walking?
Yeah, we did it for the podcast.
We did it. We
did
a Flophouse for it, and she's playing a very Ray-like character in that. Yeah. And Chaos Walking, the issue I have with that movie is they have the wrong character as the point of view character. She should be the point of view character in that movie. So she actually doesn't get that much to do in Chaos Walking. But she's not, but it's a very Ray-like character. You know, she's a tough young woman who's in outer space having adventures on a planet. And they don't, in both cases, they don't give her like that wide a range of emotions to play, unfortunately. Yeah. You know,
she is definitely underwritten in Chaos Walking, but she does have the most important movie star skill, which is like even in, you know, even given material that like has some interesting stuff in it but doesn't, you know, totally work like Chaos Walking, she is immediately sympathetic. I feel like that is her superpower, is like you just want to go along with her on her
adventures. Yeah, like Tilda Swinton.
Or, exactly like Tilda Swinton.
I mean, to be honest, yeah, I do want to go along with whatever Tilda Swinton's doing.
Or
yeah.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
I get you. It's a joke, totally, but again, whatever Michael Shannon's doing, I'm there. Yeah.
Totally sure. Different version
of
that.
Or Michael Wincott.
I mean, I think you're talking about sort of charisma where you're like, this is such an alien person to me that I want to see what they do, but...
No, it's like a Vincent Schiavelli, you know, like you just a regular old person you just want to spend time with. Yeah, sure.
What's his
real normie?
And Mads Mikkelsen is also in that Star Wars alone.
Totally normal.
Yeah.
Totally normal. And again, I want to spend time with him.
I can't believe they put Mads Mikkelsen and Ben Mendelsohn in the same movie. Man, those guys are great.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
I told you about how Ben Mendelsohn, he had a kid at the same preschool for a little bit that my older son went to.
What?
But I only ever saw him at one event, and he was like, I didn't get to talk to him, but he was very much like a loud, raucous, laughing very loudly UK actor, you know, just kind of like just what you would imagine if like Richard Harris was at a party you were at, you just kind of hear him loudly, or Brian Blessed, like loudly laughing from the other side of the room.
So, Brian Blessed level. That's,
I mean,
that's
not as loud as Brian Blessed. I mean, they can hear him in space, but they're not as loud.
I'm a pirate man in human form. I guess pirates are human, but you know what I'm saying.
No, it's most of them, yeah. I mean, not Chewbacca, but, you know.
Davy Jones isn't really human. He's like an octopus man.
He was human, though, in the beginning, right? Didn't he get cursed to turn into an octopus man?
Pete?
No, Davy Jones.
I was cursed to get turned into an octopus man, but I've luckily gotten some treatments, and you can't tell anymore.
You can barely see where the tentacles were attached. Yeah,
I thought you meant the monkey Davy Jones.
yeah, Davy Jones from the monkey. Oh, my chair just collapsed.
That when I was a kid, that confused me so much. When a pirate in a show or movie would say Davy Jones Locker, and I'd be like, from the monkeys? Like, how did they know about him back then?
That cute imp.
It's from the sea monkeys, that's why.
Star Wars.
Because I know people will say something, I had to point out that Ben Mendelsohn is Australian.
Oh, sorry, he is Australian. He's not UK. I apologize. He's Commonwealth. Yeah.
Right. And
I didn't get to talk to him, like I said.
And so you would have known. He would have been like, hello, I'm from Australia. We'd be like, oh, okay.
He would have said, good day.
He was eating all the barbecue shrimp.
And just hunting down emus in the outback that had run wild. Yeah.
some kind of knife measuring contest. Yeah.
Angels in the outfield.
He kept asking people if things. He kept asking people if things were knives. Yeah.
Right. Oh.
That's not a knife, but is this a knife?
I've never seen one.
Why?
Why?
Why? I know, you know, the answer is, you know, because the plot, but it is, I find it odd that they're so stymied by a pile of loose rocks when they're in a mining outpost. They're just like, oh no, how are we going to move these rocks when we're in this kind of mining?
You're saying they should have called over Bruce Willis and his asteroid drilling team to get them out of there.
Somebody should have.
I mean, it's a tense moment. They don't always, I feel like there's a thing, I'm going to give characters in movies a little bit of slack, where people are like, why didn't you just do this one thing that was obvious to me as someone looking from outside the situation, not feeling the stress of it? When you and so this is not exactly what you're saying, it's not exactly that, but there are a lot of times where they're like, if they just did this, they'd get away from the killer. And it's like, well, you're being chased like,
why didn't you just kill the Terminator? He'd stop bothering you if you just got rid of him.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Well, was it because there's three different kinds of Terminators, and you don't want to kill the good Terminator, you know?
Yeah, the neutral one, I don't know.
What?
There's neutral good Terminators, bad Terminators, and neutral milk hotels. Milk hotels are a kind of Terminator. But yeah, it does seem like, and the rocks seem very loose. It seems like they could probably, I don't know, he's just frustrated in the moment because he's like, it's not like, we're trapped. It's more like, always got to be another thing. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Like when you're like, I just have to take this to the post office. Wait a minute, I'm out of envelopes. Now I got to go get envelopes, then go to the post office. Oh, now my car's not starting. There's always something else. There's always a bigger fish. That's what he's saying, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a big pile of rocks in front of my car.
There's always a big fish because he's a big fan of the movie Big Fish. Yeah.
Sure. Who isn't?
Yeah.
Well, even if it seems like... Like, they don't know the Millennium Falcon's there getting ready to catch them. So let's suppose Poe's plan worked perfectly.
Suppose.
And they went to the exit. Oh, look, now we can get out of here. Like, what are they going to do? Just hang out? Like, they don't have... Like, it's not going to take them long to figure out where they went.
I would assume they would run as fast as they could in the opposite direction of those big gorilla robots that are shooting lasers at their friend. You know, that's
better than just hide out in the salt for a while until they go away.
They keep following the crystal foxes to wherever they go.
Yeah. Look, life is eventually they'll hit the beach. Life is all about solving problems as you get them. He's got a to-do list. He's posed like, okay, we've got to get off planet and defeat the Empire or the First Order. That's a big thing. I'm going to split it up into smaller tasks. Mm-hmm. First task, get out of this cave. Okay, great. Second task, find a safe place. Third task, I don't know. Fourth task, celebrate our victory over the First Order. And so he's just focused on that.
Third task is like, find a little bit of time for yourself, maybe work on your novel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't lose touch with you, you know. Then he's got to find a caterer for that victory party. He's got to book a DJ for the victory party. He's got to book a venue for the victory party.
They just had a DJ earlier, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although I am now picturing what we were just talking about led me back to the idea of Poe, you know, being like, oh, now we're trapped. We're like, what are we going to do? Before, earlier when they were in the hangar, I'm saying like, noticing the Crystal Fox being like, oh, that's it. I got it. And then cut to all of the Resistance dressed as Crystal Foxes trying to sneak out, hoping the First Order won't notice them.
They're all wearing Crystal Fox furs on their heads.
Yeah, and they're all like crystals taped to their head.
They're just going, tinkle, 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 jingle, jingle.
Can't you be quieter? I can't. There's crystals all over me.
Hey, if you guys are looking for the Resistance, they're still in the caves. If you hurry up, you can catch them.
Okay, thanks, little cute foxes. We appreciate it.
He said I was cute. Well, speaking of bad plans, I back to my shtick for this whole rest of this movie. I got to point out that Return of the Jedi Special Edition ends in minute 135.
Mm. Yeah.
So how many do we have left? Well, how many movies are still going at this
I'm
point?
I'm curious.
Still quite a few, I think.
The Last Emperor.
Because Return of the Jedi is one that definitely strikes me. Long.
If you count the Craymaster cycle as one long movie, then it goes last for quite a while to go. Yeah,
Empire
by Andy Warhol.
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring Extended Edition,
the clock, that art installation,
Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers Extended Edition.
Someday I want to see that whole thing. That's an amazing video piece.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a how many Star Wars movies are there left? I missed it because I was just naming other movies, being a real
No, that's okay. I didn't have the numbers. I was hoping that you guys would just keep riffing on long movies because I don't.
Yeah. Then there's this movie is not done yet.
Lord of the Rings,
so.
Return of the King, the extended edition.
I don't think we've covered any of the prequels. None of the prequels have ended yet.
Oh,
I could be wrong.
Wow.
But we did Star Wars.
What a surprise! That
I think Attack of the Clones is technically still going. Right now.
Attack of the Clones is.
It's a long movie. I told my son, I was like, you're staying up late. I know it's a long movie. We'll watch the first half of it. And then we got a half hour in. I was like, let me just check how long this movie is. We're not watching the first half of this before we go to bed. Like, it's a very long movie, and it really takes its time. But then there's so much.
All worth it, though.
It's, you know, there's so much stuff in it.
Because you're half hour in, you're at, like, just getting to the space diner, right?
Not even. Like a half hour in, they're just, it's like, that's just around the time that Padma has told Anakin that she doesn't like the way he looks at her. And
they had
to cut that down for IMAX, right? And they eliminated like most of the romance stuff and everyone liked it better.
Why'd they have to cut it down for IMAX? Because the IMAX
in the old days, the size of
the reels could only hold so exactly a certain amount of time.
But couldn't they do it digitally back then?
Yeah, somebody call Christopher Nolan so he can figure it out.
Elliot, I don't know the details to this anecdote. I just know that I've heard it.
Yeah. If it results in a shorter Attack of the Clones, don't question it. Just,
okay, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it looks like, going back through my notes, it looks like at this point now, we've cleared all of the original trilogy and Rogue One. And so we still have, I think, all of the prequels and sequels left in front of us.
Wow. Here's something I want to mention about Attack of the Clones, since I didn't get to be as part of the Attack of the Clones minute, is watching that beginning, you see the seeds of the Rise of Skywalker, where it's like, find this thing, it'll take you to this thing, then that'll take you to this thing. At that first assassination attempt on Queen Amidala, or Princess Amidala, is she queen or princess by then?
She's a senator.
Yeah, but I mean, on Naboo, guys, come on. Did she step?
She stepped down. She has no title anymore.
I don't even remember anymore. Yeah.
There's a new queen. We meet the new queen in Attack.
Same as the old queen.
I forgot about that. It's like they hired Jango Fett to kill her, but then Jango Fett hired another bounty hunter, and then that bounty hunter delegated the job to a drone, and the drone delegated to a bunch of worms that are supposed to bite her. And it was like, Jango Fett, just do your job. Like, it would have been over. Like, why? What is this chain of subcontractors in the bounty hunting field? You know.
Well, don't forget, they want Obi-Wan to figure it out. So they need it to be as clumsy and as blatant as possible, because they need Obi-Wan to get to Kamino so that he will reveal the clones and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Plans within plans. Yeah.
There's so many, too many plans. It's
That's Palpatine for you. Classic Sheev.
Mm-hmm. Over planning. I guess the Star Wars universe is a universe where people don't know how to plan things. They just, like, you have to, even when they're planning, these are the people who invented, like, it's a gender reveal party, let's set off some fireworks that burn down half of a forest. Like, we gotta, like, just go with a simple plan, just tell people what your baby's gonna be, like, come on.
The
simple plan of not doing a gender reveal party.
Yeah.
Because it's dumb.
But you don't want it to have too simple a plan, because then you end up losing the money and Billy Bob Thornton kills himself to sacrifice to keep everything hidden. So you don't want to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. We send the two droids in, and then they will start the gender reveal. But then if that doesn't work, then we might have to send in Princess Leia in disguise.
And by the way, Lando's been there for who knows how long.
He's been in, like, deep cover.
Right.
Like,
he might not come back.
Lando just likes it. Yeah.
Good.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's like if getting Han frozen in carbonite was part of their plan to take down Jabba years later. Like,
right.
It seems like Luke's plan is like, let's each get captured one at a time.
I just like
to come up with a plan.
Han Solo like wakes up and they're all like 20 years older. And like, why did it take so long? Well, you know, we got to Jabba's place and it was kind of cool. Like, he had like
they're all
a
working
rock band
for Jabba.
And,
yeah.
treated us well as employees.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say it's 20 years later and every other Admiral Akbar has arrived and taken up undercover. Mon Mothma's there and taken up undercover. Like the Ewoks, they went and discovered them and brought them back to get
Chief
jobs.
Chief Sherpa's like the bartender.
Yeah, yeah. Log Ray is there. Sure. Yeah.
Wait, anyone here who's not in on this plan to rescue Han Solo, please.
And they all raise their hands. And then how many people are part of this plan? They all raise their hands. Then Jabba raises his hand.
What?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, Jabba would unzip himself, and it would be three little people inside of Jabba.
Yeah,
we're like,
it's, it's like it's you know, a general, what's his name? What?
Lee. General Lee.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say General Lee. It's the General Lee, the car from Dukes of Hazzard.
Inside the Jabba.
You can't do that anymore.
I was about to say General Ursus, but then I was like, wait, he's the general from the second Planet of the Apes movie. He's not a Star Wars character.
I mean, maybe he's there, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like,
everybody's working at Jabba's palace, I gotta tell you.
Does anyone remember what our plan was?
You know what it is? Jabba unzips. It's Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. They faked their death years ago so that they can finally free Han from Jabba, which hadn't happened yet.
Finally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
Chaos. Anything else for minute 135? Or Last Jedi in general, since this will be your guys' last chance ever to speak about it.
Oh, man. Thanks so much for having us on here. I like The Last Jedi quite a bit. It has the, like, absolute final note of the movie is really touching and kind of feels like the absolute final note of the Skywalker saga to me. I like it.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. I apologize that we were on during a section where I was like slamming it, because there's a lot in this movie that I really do love. And I agree with Stuart. Like, if this had been the last Star Wars movie, then I would have been like, okay, like that's the ending and the promise that, like, there are other heroes out there just waiting to emerge would have been a really inspiring and really beautiful way to end the series. And unfortunately, they decided to, in the next one, be like, no. No heroes. There's just one hero. But if there are Star Wars fans out there who didn't like it because of the shock of seeing something that was slightly different, I would advise them to go back and watch it again, and maybe they'll be able to appreciate those things about it that felt a little too new at the time.
Yeah, I know that Pete said that he's readying his Rise of Skywalker defenses. I will say this about Rise of Skywalker. I watched it. I was like, oh, this is more Star Wars. That's fine. That's fun. But but the difference for me is, and, come at me, haters, but please don't, because I don't care, is that Last Jedi, like, I walk out of that Last Jedi thinking, like, oh, this is opening all these new doors for Star Wars. Like, I would love to see more. Whereas Rise of Skywalker, I walk out of it being like, that was okay, but you know what? For the first time in my life, that's probably enough Star Wars for me. I'm done. So that's the big difference, and I like this one quite a bit.
Wasn't that that's the goal? It's like, it's the end.
I guess
everybody,
so.
There's not going to be any more.
Make
so
me mildly annoyed at it enough that I don't want to watch anymore.
I want you to walk away on your own terms.
Yeah. So people do speculate that the fact that the Solo was released just 6 months later or whatever contributed to its relatively poor performance at the box office. But I wonder if there was some also psychological element of, like, Last Jedi had such closure to it that people were like, what? There's more? What? You know, like.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. I think each of the, I mean, the fact that Solo was advertised as skippable, that they're like, hey, yes. Guess what? You don't need this. Like, it's a side story. It's Solo. But also
got 2 hours to kill? Come see Solo. Why not?
But I remember when Last Jedi came out, it was a drop in box office from The Force Awakens. And I remember seeing an article that was like, is this bad news for the Star Wars franchise? And it's like, well, of course. Not, like, Force Awakens was the first new Star Wars movie in, what, more than a decade?
Yeah.
Like, of course it's going to be a bigger release than when you release them now once a year or more. So it's, I feel like Solo got kind of an unfair shake. Solo is the weird thing where it's like, the movie has no reason to exist except for Star Wars, but if it was not a Star Wars movie, it would be a better movie that people would have liked more and I think would have done better. You take that same movie and strip out Chewbacca and the names of the characters, and you, like, just mad in a new spaceship over the Millennium Falcon, I think people would be like, that was a fun sci-fi adventure. Wow, that was, look at all that stuff that he did. Wow.
Why didn't they do a Star Wars movie like that? That would have been so cool if it was just Han and Chewie having adventures together.
But it, but then you and
is that
you,
Darth you, Maul?
And then you'd be able to cut out. You'd be able to cut out my least favorite line in any of the Star Wars movies. Maybe after around the around the survivors of Perimeter Make or whatever it is, which is a terrible line. The line where he says, "What's your name again?" Chewbacca. I'm not going to say all that. And it was like, did you need to explain to me why he calls him Chewie? Like, it's the most obvious nickname in the world.
The idea of
like,
shortening words.
Yeah.
But,
Three syllables.
But I hope you guys get to I hope you can come back for, I mean, can't speak with these other guys, I guess, but come back for Rise of Skywalker, because that'd be fun too.
Or and whatever ancillary property you decide to.
I guess
we are going to do Solo next, and then Rise of Skywalker.
Or for Solo, bring us back for all. And then, and when you do the Droids Cartoon Show Minute, and you're doing all the episodes of that, sure, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have that. That's legally binding.
Uh-oh.
Set it on the podcast.
Kaylin!
That's good hat acting for those who are only listening.
Acting.
Only hat listening. Hat. I guess just stopping at only listening. I was going to say only listening to audio, but you know what? Save the words.
These pictures sound weird.
Well, I guess then that will wrap up minute 135. Thanks for riding out the week with us, fellas. And
thank you.
People should, of course, check out the Flophouse podcast. For some funny movie observations.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
That's the way to put it, yeah.
And once you're done listening to the Flophouse, you can listen to my other podcast, Godfather Minute, where my brother and I go through the entire Godfather movies 1 minute at a time. Or you can check out Pete's side project, ABCDTOS, in which they review Star Trek, the original series, in alphabetical order. You can find those wherever you find podcasts, and you can find us on the next Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.